All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel, chapter number 3. 1 Samuel 3. In this chapter we have in verses 1 through 10, which we looked at last week, the call of the Lord. The Lord called Samuel. And today we'll look at verses 11 to 21, which is divided up in these sections. In verses 11 to 14, we have the word of the Lord by which he reveals his will. God reveals his will by his word. And in verses 15 through 18, we have the messenger of the Lord by which God communicates his mind. He communicates through his messengers, even today. In verses 19 to 21, you have the presence of the Lord. Well, we need the presence of the Lord because that's the means by which blessing is secured and ministry is made effective. If the Lord's not in it, it's not blessing anyone, and it has no effect. We need the Lord to work in our ministry. All right, let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, as we begin this study of 1 Samuel today, help us, Lord, to recognize our need to have you involved in our ministry, and not only that, but to as you speak to us through your word, help us, Lord, to see the importance of preaching the whole counsel of God, not leaving out the bad parts or the parts that are troubling or that we think might trouble someone else. Help us, Lord, to be faithful ministers of your word always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 11 says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Okay, well, if you've not been with us, or if you have, just to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, as the Bible says, Eli is the priest of God in these days we're looking at here. Samuel, he's a young child, and he's ministering in the temple, ministering there in that, it's the tabernacle at this time. Eli has two wicked sons, and he knows about their wickedness, he knows about their devilment. Eli is a man who loves God. He believes the word of God. and he holds the truth, holds to the truth of God. But he lacks the courage, he lacks the conviction to take a stand for God when it will cost him something to take that stand for God, when it might hurt somebody or it might harm the family relations. So he just lacks the backbone to act upon what he knows to be true. And so God is going to set Eli aside, and he's going to raise up someone to take his place. He has called Samuel, and he is seeking in this young child, in this young man, he's seeking someone that will do what Eli will not do, and that is declare the truth of his word. That's what God is looking for, someone to declare his words. And I believe that God is looking for the next generation of men, not with great talents, not with great abilities, not with great knowledge. He's just looking for men. He's just looking for women that will stand and tell the truth from his word. That's what he's looking for. Will you tell the truth to your neighbors? Will you tell the truth to your job mates? Well, then will you tell the truth in your Bible study group? Or will you tell the truth when you're asked to fill in at the pulpit every now and then? Okay, will you tell the truth at if you go to another church or a Bible conference or something? Will you tell the truth all around the world, wherever you are? See, God's not looking for these so-called great men. He's not looking for brilliant women. He's just looking for those who will believe his word and stand on it regardless of the cost. That's what he's looking for here in this young man Samuel. All right, now in verses 11 to 14, we have the word of the Lord by which he reveals his will. In verse 11, we read there, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." So the word of God is not always nice to hear. Amen. It's not always nice to hear. They said to, you know what the people said to Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 30 verse 10? They told him, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits." The Bible says in the New Testament that the days will come, in these last days, that men will have itching ears, that they'll want their ears tickled, they'll want their ears stroked, they want a little pat on the side of the head or some, and sometimes, you gotta understand, God's word is going to make your ears tingle. Sometimes it's gonna hurt. Sometimes it's gonna make you afraid. Sometimes it's gonna bother you and upset you. That's the word of God. And we don't wanna leave that part out either. You know what? If I read the Bible, if I ever pick up that Bible and read one book in that Bible, and I didn't come across something that I didn't like, or something that didn't hurt me, or something that didn't rub me the wrong way, I'd throw it away and say, that's not the word of God. I know I'm not holy. I know I'm not sinless. I know I'm not everything that God wants me to be. So how can I expect to read God's word and not have it strike me every now and then? Isn't that the truth? Amen. So when I go to a church, or whenever I hear another man preach, I pray before they preach. I say, God, if there's something in my life that you want that man to point out that's wrong in my life, God, put your word in his mouth and hit me right in the heart. Make my ears tingle if that's what I need. God's word will do that to you. You listen to some people, they say, well, I started reading the Bible and it just didn't make me feel good. And I went to that church, and he said some things there that just kind of made me uncomfortable. That is God in his love and in his mercy saying, hey, let me point out something that could be improved upon. Amen. Not all God's word is nice to hear. It's not all going to be pleasant. All right, verse 12 says this. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. Now, one thing I like about the Word of God, if you read it from Genesis to Revelation, there is always a warning prior to the judgment. There is always time. God giving time to find that way of escape before doom falls. It's always that way. Cain, what have you done? Cain, where's your brother? Noah, standing on the deck of that ark, preaching. There's a flood coming. There's a flood coming. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. The angels going down into Sodom and Gomorrah saying what? Get out. Jonah going into Nineveh, that Gentile city. And what did he preach? The judgment of God is going to fall. Gave them a chance to repent, and what did they do? They repented because they got a warning. All through your Bible, there's always a warning given before the judgment falls. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. I thank the Lord for every man before I was saved that preached about hell fire and the judgment of God. Amen. You know, you come to a church like this, you're going to hear preaching about the blood of Christ. That blood will cleanse you. That blood will save you. And if you're not washed in that blood, you're going to go to hell. That's not hateful for a preacher to tell you that. That's not cruel. That's not unkind. That is a merciful God giving a warning before judgment falls, so you can do something about it. That's the goodness of God. That's the grace of God. Then he says this, the rest of verse 12, when I begin, I will also make an end. When I begin, I'll make an end. Now, you know, I like that. Now that I'm saved, I like that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That day that you knelt at the cross and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and to forgive your sins, God began his work in your life. You know what God said? What I begin, you finish. That's not what he said. What I begin, you better be sure and finish it. No, that's not what he said. What I begin, God said, what I begin, I will finish. You know who saved me the 8th day of September 1991? The Lord Jesus Christ. He began a good work in me. And you know who has kept me saved all the way up to this very day? The Lord Jesus Christ. See, God didn't say, I'm the Alpha and you're the Omega. That's not what God said. I'm the beginning and you're the end. That's not what he said. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I began a good work in you, and I will finish a good work in you. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. They had gotten saved, and they trusted Jesus Christ, but then they got all worried about whether or not they were keeping the law, doing that right, or whether they were obeying all the commandments as diligently as they should be. The Apostle Paul wrote, he told them, who has bewitched you? How did you get saved in the first place? How did you get started in this Christian life? How did you begin? in the Spirit. So how do you finish? In the Spirit. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and what God begins, He finishes. Amen. Now in this context, it's just the same with His judgments. These universalists, these Unitarians, everybody's gonna get saved sooner or later people. These poor widows being robbed of all their substance by some priest saying, we're gonna get your husband out of purgatory after he's burned for a while. Well, let me tell you something. The day you enter hell fire, you are there forever. What God begins in salvation, He finishes. What God begins in damnation, He finishes. He makes a full end. Now, do you know what I like about this Bible here? People say, well, those promises God made to Israel, they're never going to be fulfilled. He's all through with Israel. Well, God said, what I begin, I finish. They can try all they want to over there in that promised land to make peace with those Muslims, but I'm telling you, it's not going to work. As long as man's trying, God said there's going to be an Armageddon. God said there's going to be a terrible war over there. And what God started, He's going to finish it. It's not going to get finished in Washington. It's not going to get finished in Paris. It's not going to get finished at any peace table anywhere. It's going to get finished when Jesus Christ rides into Jerusalem and sits on the throne of His glory. So, whenever you read in the newspaper about some so-called peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians, read your Bible. There will be no peace over there. God warned you about a false peace. God warned you about Israel making a covenant with hell and death. God's going to finish that work over there Himself. What He starts, He finishes. I appreciate that. I'm glad we've got a God that we can depend upon. All right, now watch John Calvin fall off the back of the truck again here. Verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons were predestinated to be vile? No, that's not what the Bible says. Because his sons had no choice but to be vile because I created them vessels unto wrath? That's not what the Bible says. Because his sons made themselves vile. The devil doesn't make you sin. Your upbringing doesn't make you sin. Your environment doesn't make you sin. Your mama and daddy living bad lives, that didn't make you sin. The Bible said those boys were vile because they made themselves vile. Every sin they committed was an act of their will. They sinned against God. Now what was Eli's problem? Verse 13, and he restrained them not. He restrained them not. Mother, father, listen. When that boy is 18 years old and he packs his bag, leaves home and goes out there and lives like the devil, there's nothing you can do about that. But as long as that boy is under your roof, he might be a sinner, he might be wicked, he might hate God, he might hate the Bible, and you might not be able to keep him from sinning on his way home from school. You might not be able to keep him from living like the devil when he's out there with his buddy on the way to school. But I'll tell you one thing I know is the truth, because the Bible says so. God has called on you. You can't make them do right. You can't keep them from doing wrong. If they got a heart to live like the devil, they're going to do it. But I'll tell you what, God said, you better restrain them. You better make it just as hard. You better make it just as difficult. You better make it just as painful. You better make it just as unprofitable as you can for those kids to do wrong. Amen. That's how you restrain them. Go visit a prison in America sometime. You look at those things and you think, why in the world would a kid living in filth and in uncleanness and poverty, why would that kid want to avoid air conditioning, showers, three meals a day, weight room, and videos? You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about jail in America. That is no restraint. Restraint is when you tell that child, you're not going to do it. Yes, I am. You're not going to do it. Yes, I am. Well, let me show you what you get if you do it. Let me show you the consequences. I mean, listen, you have no guarantee. Every one of you makes your own choices in life. When your children are grown, they'll make their own choices in life. But as long as they're under your roof, God said you had better restrain them. What does that word mean? Well, we look at just breaking in two there. It's a strain. and re means you do it again. Okay, you're going to have to strain over and over and over again as you raise those kids. Did you ever hear a parent say, that kid gets on my nerves? That kid just wears me out. It's such a strain raising these children. Well, I'll tell you what you do. Make it a strain on them instead of a strain on you.
Amen.
Amen. A child's rebellion should not hurt you. It should hurt them. A child's disobedience should not be a problem for you, the parent. It should be a problem for them, the child. Amen. Restraint, that's the ticket. All right, verse 14. 1 Samuel 3:14. There's a deadline. Verse 14, and therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. I don't know where it is. I don't know when it is. But I read verses like this, and this isn't the only one in the Bible, but I read verses like this, and these verses tell me there is a line out there, and God knows where it is. And you better get right with God before you cross that thing. Or all the sacrifice, all the offering in the world is not going to do you any good. Let's say that you have heard the gospel. You know how to be saved. You know what to do, and yet you're not saved. And Jesus might come right now. You know what that Bible says? Your soul is damned. There's no hope for you. That's what the Bible says if you cross that deadline. God only knows how many people walked out of a church service, walked out of a revival meeting. They knew they needed to get saved. They knew that the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with them. They walked out that door and lost their mind. Ran that car into a telephone pole. Never had the Spirit of God draw them to Christ again. I don't know. I don't know where it is. I don't know when it is. All I know is I wouldn't take a chance. If I wasn't saved, the first time I heard that gospel, I'd bow my knees and ask Jesus Christ to save my soul. Because you don't ever know. You just don't ever know. There was one woman, she lived in a nursing home. She's an old woman. and her end is near. And a certain Baptist church group went to that nursing home week after week, and they went again and again and again to deal with that woman. And she said, no, 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 thank you. And one night, finally, she broke down and got saved. She said, yes. And the next week when that church group went to see her, she had died. She was pushing it there. I mean, she died and went to heaven. And if that woman had not gotten saved the night that she did, she'd have crossed that deadline and she would have been gone and it would have been too late. If you reject Christ today, in the day you get up there to heaven to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, you'll see those nail-scarred hands, and you'll see that wonderful Savior. You'll see that precious blood on that altar. There's all that salvation that was available to you. And you know what? All that offering, all that sacrifice, all that salvation won't do you one bit of good at that point in time. It'll be too late. It's too late if you cross that deadline. I tell you, the old timers used to sing a song that would say, "You're drifting too far from the shore. You're drifting too far from the shore. And you don't know, but one day that boat will get so far out, you won't have time to make it back to the shoreline before you sink." You just don't know. You just don't know. Okay, 1 Samuel 3:15-18 is concerning the messenger of the Lord by which the Lord communicates his mind. Here's what God is looking for. God's looking for a man that will tell the truth. In verse 15, the Bible says at the end of the verse, "And Samuel feared." And Samuel feared. Verse 18 says, "And Samuel told." Samuel feared and Samuel told. You say, "Brother Bob, I'm afraid to witness. I'm afraid to speak up for Jesus. I'm afraid to go out and preach the word. I'm afraid to deal with that man about his soul." Well, that's all right. But guess what? God wants you to do it anyway. Samuel feared. Samuel was afraid. Here's this young boy living with Eli, being raised by Eli, serving and working with Eli every day. This aged high priest of God. And the first sermon God ever gives Samuel to preach, he says, "Son, you want to be my preacher? You want to be my minister? Will you be my spokesman? All right, go in there and tell Eli I'm going to kill him and his boys in the same day." How's that for a start? Wouldn't you be afraid? Why, if you didn't, there'd be something wrong with you, I'd say. But the Bible says Samuel feared, but Samuel told. You know what God wants? He wants men. He wants women that will deny their feelings, deny their emotions, quit making excuses for the shortcomings in their nature and their makeup and their personality, and just go ahead and do what God wants you to do, whether you feel like it or not. Whether you're afraid to or not, whether you're comfortable with it or not. So many Christians, they've said, "Well, I'm just not comfortable doing that." Do you think that Jesus was comfortable dying on the cross? Do you think Stephen was comfortable getting his brains knocked out? Do you think Paul was comfortable getting his back whipped and torn open? It's not a matter of doing something only if it's comfortable. It's a matter of loving God and being faithful and doing what he said to do. And he found that in Samuel. He found a man who denied himself and denied his feelings, and he went ahead and delivered the message that God gave him to deliver. Now, let me say this about the messenger of the Lord. When God is no longer on speaking terms with a man, God will send a messenger. See, I mean, think about it. Why did God have to send Samuel to speak to Eli? Did you ever wonder that? Why didn't God just go and speak to Eli? Because God wasn't speaking to Eli anymore. God and Eli were not on speaking terms. So he had to send Samuel. He had to send a messenger. He had to send a witness to give God's message, God's word, to Eli. And do you know what the Bible says about unsaved men and women out there in the world? Your sins have separated between you and your God. The Bible says that unsaved men and women out there in the world, they're strangers, they're aliens. They have no fellowship or relationship with God at all. It's been broken by sin. And so Jesus said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How shall they be saved lest they hear? How shall they hear without God speaking from heaven? No. How shall they hear without a preacher? You. Jesus said, ye are my witnesses. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. God is not going to appear in a vision. God is not going to just magically show up or marvelously show himself in someone's living room. God and man, they're not on speaking terms. So God has called every one of us to be his messenger, to be his witness, to carry his word to the lost men and women of the world. God's not going to speak to them. You can print all the new Bibles you want to in plain language so that unsaved heathen that hate God can understand the word of God. And you know what? That won't do you one bit of good. Won't do them one bit of good. God is not going to speak to a lost man. They're not on speaking terms. God ordained in his New Testament that his messengers, his witnesses, that they take his words and declare them to those that he's not speaking to. There are those who say, well, I think if I just sit around and just pray and just ask God, he'll speak to their heart. You can ask God to speak to their heart all you want to, but he's not going to. He told you, he told me to do it. You can ask God to prepare their heart so that you can go give them God's word. That'd be a smart thing to do. But you got to remember, God's not speaking to lost men. He's not on speaking terms with them. And that's why he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. All right, in verses 16 and 17, Eli wants to know everything God said to Samuel. So look what Samuel did. Watch the mark and the character of God's messenger. Verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. Samuel told Eli every whit and hid nothing from him. He didn't pass over the unpleasant verses. He didn't skip the unpopular doctrines. He didn't fail to preach and teach on the things that he knew the vast majority of the congregation wouldn't want to hear about. He didn't leave out the parts of the Bible that he knew would cause a firestorm. God's man delivers all of God's message. He doesn't leave out anything. He doesn't skip anything. And that is what God found in Samuel. Eli, he loved the Lord. Eli believed God's word. But there were certain parts of God's word that he rather just pass over because he knew how his boys would respond. There were certain parts of God's word that Eli just didn't want to take a stand on because he knew of the waves that it would make. He knew the problems that could cause. God said, okay, Samuel, how about you? Will you declare everything I told you to declare? Will you set forth every word that I gave you to set forth? And the Bible said he held nothing back. And you know what God will do for a man like that? Do you know what God will do for a woman like that? Do you know what God will do for a witness like that? Look at verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel could speak, but because he spoke God's words, all of God's words, faithfully, God saw to it that those words didn't just go out there and drop to the ground. God saw to it that those words reached the ears and reached the hearts and reached the lives and reached the souls of those that God intended to hear. And it wasn't always for blessing and salvation. It may have been for a case like Eli and his sons. It may be for that word may be for destruction. But that's God's business. God is looking for men and women who will declare, as we put on our tracts, our gospel tracts, as we put on our literature, God's looking for witnesses who will declare all the counsel of God. That's what God is looking for in these last days. You say, I want my ministry to be effective. I want my witness to be blessed. I want God to use me when I speak for him. Okay, here's what you do then. Don't cut corners. Don't hedge. Don't leave out the parts of the message that God gives you to do, any part of it that God gives you to deliver. Declare it all. Declare it all. No matter what. Look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter number 20 and verse 25. Acts 20:25. The mark of God's witness, God's messenger. Bible says, and now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. How could Paul say, I'm pure? How could Paul say, I'm not guilty of any man's blood? Because he made sure that not one man, not one woman that ever came under the sound of his voice failed to hear what God wanted them to hear. I don't know. I don't know your lives. I don't know your walk. I don't know where you are with God. I don't know what goes on when nobody's around. I don't know how you really feel about the Lord and the brethren down in the depths of your heart. You see people do different things. You see people say different things? I don't know. I don't have any idea. You say, Brother Bob, what do you think about that person? Do you think they're right with God? Do you think they love the Lord? Beats me. I don't know. I don't know who's right with God and who's not. I don't know who loves Him and who doesn't. Jesus said, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. One of the 12 apostles is right there with Jesus, and he belonged to Satan. So I don't know. How can you know? And so all I know to do is just take everything God said in the Bible and preach it. And that way, whatever you need to hear, whatever God needs to get across to you, He can do it. It's up to the Lord. You say, well, I don't think I ought to mention that. Or I don't think I ought to say anything about that verse. Or maybe we should just, you know, skip that one. You know what? You Christians, you like to study the Bible. You like to do a book study sometime. Doesn't it aggravate you when you've got a verse that's really bugging you, or a verse that really says something kind of strange, you're not sure about it, and you pick up every commentary on the shelf, and every one of those guys just skipped it, skipped that verse. Have you ever come across that in your studies? You do a search, you say, well, I wonder what he says about it. Oh, nothing. Okay, well, what about this guy? What does he say? Nothing. Well, what does he say? Nothing. I don't like that. It's happens to me a lot. If it's going to make my ears tingle, well, let my ears tingle, but tell me what God said about it. Give me all of God's word. It might be just what I need at the time. A lot of times a preacher will preach a message and he'll use an illustration or maybe mention a specific action that a person might take. And that preacher has no idea that the words that he's speaking are having a personal effect on one of the people in the congregation because his words have to do with something that person is going through that very week or maybe that very day. And so, because of things like that, people have the idea that the preacher, he must have spies who fill him in on the details of your life so that he can preach a message and direct it to you, you know, about the things you're doing. You know, pastor, you know, brother so-and-so, he's involved in this action. You might want to say something about that. And sister so-and-so needs a little refresher on this subject, if you can kind of preach on that. And be sure and mention something about, you know, no, it doesn't work that way. If you think that the sermon is speaking to you, keep in mind there's no way in the world that the pastor could have known that. That is God. That's the Holy Spirit. And that preacher, if that preacher had thought about it and said, well, that might, if I preach on this verse here, that might hurt somebody's feelings. He might have missed an opportunity from God to speak a word to a man's heart so that man can repent if he needs to or take whatever necessary actions that he's learned about by the hearing of God's word. Because that's how God works. And if God puts something on your heart, God gives you something to speak on His behalf, you give it all, every whit, and let God deliver it right to the hearts of those who need it. So that they might be convicted, so that they might be moved into action. Amen. You know, in this day and age when it's hard to find a Christian who will speak God's whole truth, you just might be surprised to find out that God will, He'll push aside the seasoned professional church leaders in a time of need, and instead he'll use somebody like you very effectively, even if you're just a young, newly saved, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. You know what I've found out over the years? It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you know. It doesn't matter how much training you have. It doesn't matter how smart you are. If you would just tell the truth from God's Word where it needs to be told, God will honor that, and God will use you, and God will make you His spokesman. You know, the best thing you'll ever do, I mean, listen, sure, be nice, be kind, be polite always, but you've got to tell the truth from the Word of God. And if you do, God will bless you. He won't let your words fall to the ground. He will use those words. He'll do something with them. Amen. And then verse 20. 1 Samuel 3:20. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. If you're a minister of the Lord, people are going to know it. You won't have to wear a badge or wear your shirt backwards. You won't have to put on a fancy bathrobe or a crown on your head. You won't have to put a clergy sticker on the back of your car. If you are God's messenger, if you're God's witness, it will be known wherever you go. Have you ever been around some of these men and women of God? I mean, these are Christians that if they walked in this building right now, you would know the Holy Spirit of God was on them. You'd just know it. You'd just know it. I've read about two or three men like this. Helen Ewan was a woman like that over in Scotland. Charles Finney reached that point. Peter Cartwright reached that point. There was times when Charles Finney, he'd walk into a factory and people would begin to drop to their knees and cry and ask God to forgive them and save them. They didn't even know who he was, and he didn't even have to say a word. The power of God was on that man so strong that everywhere he went, the Holy Spirit of God was with him. Helen Ewan was a little Scottish girl. She died when she was 22 years old. And an evangelist would go somewhere to preach, and the meeting wouldn't be going anywhere, and people wouldn't be getting saved. And there's records that report that Helen Ewan would walk in that church and sit down in the back row, and people would begin to go to the altar and weep and ask God to save them. All she did was walk in the church. Wouldn't it be something to have God's power on you so that from Dan to Beersheba, from coast to coast, from border to border, God Almighty put His stamp on you that you were His messenger and His witness? When you hear a man preach, a lot of times you can tell just two sentences into the message whether he's in the spirit or he's in the flesh. And you know, you don't get but about 2 out of 12 men that have God on him at all. You know what the problem is? These days, what the problem is in the pulpits, with a clip, clip here and a clip, clip there, here a clip, there a clip, everywhere a clip, clip. They're cutting up God's Word, cutting out the parts they don't like. They're not preaching the whole counsel of God, and there's no power on what they're saying. So they just cut so much of God's Word out. Why? Because they're trying to be recognized or accepted with the crowd they're preaching to, that they don't have God's acceptance anymore. They're accepted by the people. They're not accepted by God. And if God puts his hand on you, that's going to take care of the people's response. Okay? So you won't have to worry about, you know, how the preaching's going to affect the people, positively or negatively. That's God's business. All right, we'll finish up with this, a great verse, number 21, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. How did you get to know God? How did you get to know his will? How do you get to know what he's like? How do you find out what he wants you to be? How do you find out what he wants you to do? By his word. By his word. The Lord reveals himself by his word. Now you should pray. You should seek God. You should seek the counsel of godly men and women. But after you've done all that, God will speak his truth to you through his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. God's word will not pass away. So that's 1 Samuel chapter 3. Great chapter, isn't it? Call of the Lord, we saw in verses 1 to 10 last week. The word of the Lord, verses 11 to 14. The messenger of the Lord, verses 15 to 18. And the presence of the Lord, verses 19 to 21. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this important lesson. Help us, Lord, to strive to be the kind of messenger, the kind of witness that you've demonstrated, that you have revealed in your Holy Scriptures through this young man, Samuel. Help us to be like him and to give your word to all the people that we run across in our lives. Every whit, not leaving anything out. The whole counsel of God. Help us to remember, Lord, that all of your word is important, and that's why you preserved all of it. Help us to not neglect any part of it in our witnessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll sing one song and then we'll take a break.